evolution.
CliffCentral.com.
And as Wednesday morning rolls around once more, you are listening to Animal Central. I'm Sharon Dale. I'm here with John and Claire. And we're back to talk about more things furry, very furry things today.
Yes, it's our favorite day of the week, as always, Wednesday. It's officially halfway through the week, almost halfway through the day.
Yes.
Nearly there.
Yeah, we're nearly there.
Today we've got such a happy show. I'm really happy.
We have a
Labrador in studio.
Harry's here.
He is huge. He's not what you expect from a Labrador. He's beautiful. Beautiful.
No, but we'll speak about him. He was rescued and he's had a few weight problems when he was. So he's a huge boy. But what a honey.
Well, that's one of our guests. Is Labrador Rescue coming
Labrador in? Rescue
in just a moment. And then we have a celebrity guest today.
Yes.
We haven't had one of these in a while.
I think
the last one we had on was Damon Calvari.
That's true.
And before that, we had Casper
De
Vries.
Who it's so exciting, I must tell you. We're putting our June edition of Canine Zone to print today, and Casper is our special celebrity feature.
Oh, no way!
Awesome with these dogs, Alfreda and Kent. So if you want to know all about Casper, he's so funny. I mean, even his interview, it's hysterically funny, but he's got such a love for dogs.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, every Friday when Casper has his show, I mean, at least twice a month, he brings both his dogs in. But he only brings them in if they've been to the parlor and they look respectable. And then he brings them in.
So if you want to read more, that'll be on shelves when June the 16th, I think. So we got Casper in there. And talking about our guest who's going to talk about his love for cats, we've kind of been missing out on the cat people
for a while now. Yeah.
But I want to tell people out there who want to find out more about how to take care of their cats. I came across, in fact, the site Kitty Cat is run by a wonderful lady called Jenny Ferreira. She used to work for me a couple of years ago, and she went on to launch her own cat and cat rescue digital magazine, which is absolutely fantastic. So the aim is to help educate people, cat owners, new kitten owners, who don't know much about cats and those who want to learn more about. Lots of cat stories, medical advice, tips from vets, which is always useful. So if you want to read more, go to www.kittycatmagazine.co.za. And the great thing about this, Jono, is that a portion of all advertising goes to Animal Rescue, which is, you know, that is something very dear to my heart. You've got ourselves, Canine Zone. We raised a lot of money in calendars to go back to rescue. Animal Talk magazine does a lot. They do a lot of events. They do premier screenings. All the monies go back to rescue. And I think that's so important. If you're actually putting out these magazines to give back in some way, it really is worth it. And these shelters and that desperately need funds. So even 10 rand can buy a tin of dog food or cat food, something like that. So, you know, kudos to Kitty Cat and Rescue,
well done.
Cat Rescue Magazine and Animal Talk. And then, you know, we're hoping to do at Wodak, we always do raffles, and a calendar will come out again this year, and all these proceeds go back to shelters.
Well, you know, Wodak is the World of Dogs and Cats Expo.
World of Dogs and Cats, yes.
And I think it's taking place the middle of July.
Correct.
I know you're going to have a stand there for Canine Zone.
Yes, we certainly are, and we're going to be doing lots of raffles and things like that to raise funds for the various shelters.
And we're trying to broadcast from there.
Hopefully.
Nothing definite, but we'll wait and
see. That happens.
But you know, like all the animal lovers from across Africa, I mean, people travel from other countries just to come to this expo.
Well, it's normally about 20,000 people that come.
It's the biggest one in Africa that there is. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to that.
It's just the planning. Oh, the planning to get there and to get everything in place. But that's going to be great.
But there's going to be something for all animal lovers. Dogs, cats, horses, birds,
everything.
Fish.
Yeah.
There's going to be koi.
Yes,
there.
The koi.
Yeah,
they got a special koi. It's such a lovely day out. It really is. You can get great food. You can this, and hopefully we'll be there and we'll interview some of our listeners about their love for animals. So
We'll get stuck into Ben Karpinski of the Gareth Cliff Show. He is, you know, he's this big sports guy, but he has this cat that he loves more than life itself, I think, which is very weird. And the cat's name is Meowsers.
Meowser.
Which I think is hilarious. So yeah, we'll find out what makes him such a cat person, because he's not much of a people person. I always say that Ben is sort of a lone wolf. he doesn't really belong to a wolf pack, you know, in the office. He's a very standalone character, and I think that's why he loves cats, because they're very independent. They don't need sort of affirmation from other people. So,
I think a lot of people who own animals will say to you they'd rather be on a desert island with animals than people.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, because, you know, that's just the way they are. I mean, but it's going to be great to find out how he chose the name, obviously.
Of course.
And you get dog people and cat people. What's the difference? Where does it come from? But then on something a little bit more negative, you found
this
story.
This is a story that's gone global. Now, what happened? I mean, we do an animal show every week here on our radio station. But this guy in Denmark took it upon himself in his radio show to try to get the message across about animal rights and animals being treated fairly.
Yes.
So what he did was he brought a rabbit, a little bunny, into his studio. He took a bicycle pump and he beat it to death on the radio show. So let's just check this out. This sound is courtesy of Fairfox Media as well as Euro News. Try not to get too angry, but let's see what it's all about.
Oh, yeah. A row has broken out in Denmark after a radio presenter took a baby rabbit and killed it live on air. The host, Asger Juhl, said it was to highlight the hypocrisy of animal lovers. Some critics thought it was simply a publicity stunt for the station, Radio 24 SYV. The presenter said he'd taken expert advice from a Danish zoo before striking the rabbit twice on the neck with a bicycle pump. He later took the rabbit home, skinned it, and cooked it for a meal with his children. The radio station drew a comparison with the livestock industry in Denmark, where pigs for slaughter are said to outnumber people. Such animals endured horrific suffering on the way to the dinner table, it said, without provoking strong reactions.
Hi, Ellen.
Killing a rabbit live on air with a bicycle pump might not be everyone's idea of how to raise awareness of animal rights, but that's exactly what happened on Danish radio. Host Asger Juhl later skinned and ate the bunny, named Alan, for dinner. So where's the logic? Well, this is what the radio show host posted on Facebook. We wanted to expose the vast hypocrisy surrounding our relationship with animals. Consumers generally do not kill animals themselves, but we buy and eat animals that have led sad lives. The host said he had taken advice from a Danish zoo over how to best kill the rabbit. He later told BBC4, "You cannot say it's terrible to kill an animal and then eat meat. These things are connected." The segment, intended to provoke debate, has caused a backlash online. The radio host has received threats towards himself and his family, while a change.org petition is calling for his resignation.
Sure.
Oh,
so there you have it.
That is shocking, but I'm nauseated by it, but there's a nugget of truth.
Yeah. I get what he was trying to say.
We eat meat.
But I feel like he did that after the fact.
That's shocking.
He killed the rabbit on his radio show, and then after the backlash, he said, no, this
that's
is why I'm doing
it.
Because to get your message across about eating meat and how animals are treated, but then I mean, a rabbit wouldn't have been treated that way in a slaughterhouse.
Oh,
I mean,
no, that's
you don't beat
it
to death with
a
bicycle pump.
I'm speechless. I mean, that's just shocking.
I mean, sure, it's very disturbing. So,
but a lot of people do say, you know, we complain about animal rights and all the rest, but then they go out and they buy pork and meat, and these animals are treated terribly in the slaughterhouses. So what is the difference, I guess? It's like people in uproar about horse meat. If you eat a cow or a calf in venison or something like a veal, what is the difference? If you're going to eat meat, what is the difference? But that's taking it a bit far. That's horrific.
Well, this story's gone viral.
Most of the
main news organizations are picking it up. There's a lot of backlash. We'll see if this guy gets fired. I really hope he does. Although maybe his point was sincere, I just felt the way he went about it.
It's making people listen, I think. And I can imagine the backlash is going to be quite something. But yes, and then just, you know, another on a nicer note.
Yes, please.
There was that little girl that
She raised money now for rhino poaching. Sorry, Sharon.
Yes.
I've got all your papers on my side of the desk.
I know. She's a six-year-old little girl. Her name is Alyssa Carter. And she decided that rhinos needed help and that she was going to actually try try and help. So what she did was for a year and a half, she saved, she collected monies, and she bought two Belgian Shepherd dogs that were worth 100,000 each, which I can't understand why they were so much. But anyway, but she donated them to the Marakele National Park in the Northwest to aid in fighting rhino poachers. She's in grade one when she first heard about this horrible, you know, all the rhinos that are being killed. And she said on the show, it hurt my heart and I wanted to do something to help them.
And how much money? She raised quite a bit.
300,000, it seems. Her father said that they all put their heads together to raise funds and they sold chocolates and sweets to get for a year and a half. And a sweets company even agreed to make these chocolates and cookies for her using her picture that she drew of a rhino as the sort of branding on the product. And she says that she's going to do it again to get some more dogs because Sanparks honorary rangers, they do use dogs to help them track the rhino hunters. And Louis Lemos, the head of the honorary rangers, said, you know, they were so impressed with what this little girl did. And she's quite happy to say that they're allowing her to come and visit the dogs that she bought. So that's a definite story.
Such a good news story.
That's a great story.
Yeah, I mean, especially if you've seen this picture going viral. There's the last white male northern rhino of some sort. Now, I couldn't validate if the story was true, but it literally has four armed guards around it. It is so disturbing.
To protect it. And then we're exporting them into Texas to keep them safe. I mean, how crazy. Sad. In fact, Johnny, you were right. She has already raised almost 300,000.
Not bad for selling sweets and chocolates.
Kitty. That is brilliant. We all need to do that.
All right. So when we come back, we have Labrador Rescue and we'll have Gail, Jane, and of course the
Harry.
Black Lab.
Yes, Harry will be here.
CliffCentral.com.
No, honey, I'm good. I could have another, but I probably should not. I got somebody at home.
Such a vibey song.
It's
can't
awesome,
help
right?
but tap along with it. But we're back now and we've got Harry in the studio. Harry is an amazing, huge black Labrador. And with him, you see, we introduce Harry first.
He's the guest of honor.
But with him, we have Jane Hoare, who's one of the founders of Labrador Rescue South Africa. And we have Gail Franciscos, who says a volunteer. But from what I gather, she does a lot more than that.
A lot more, yeah.
Thanks for joining us today, ladies.
Thank you.
Let's start by tell us what you do. What does Labrador Rescue do?
We rescue and rehome Labradors all over South Africa. We've got a volunteer in Cape Town as well who does an amazing job. We basically assist people who need to rehome their Labradors for whatever reason. Could be leaving the country, downsizing to a smaller property, a lot of divorce cases as well.
So financial.
Financial problems. And then the biggest problem is people that don't research the breed, get a couple of puppies, don't train them, don't socialize them. And then when you've got two Labrador puppies redesigning your garden.
Yes, yes.
That's when we get the call.
The amateur landscapers that we get. But that comes up, hey, Johnny, every time we have guests that represent breed rescue. Time and again, people say one of the biggest reasons these dogs end up in shelters is owners not doing their homework.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, you often find that, I mean, you Google a dog that's good with children. The first one that's going to come up is a Labrador.
Yes.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the early years are very taxing. And if you don't take the time to train them, to integrate them into your family, and also to teach your children how to interact with a dog, it creates huge problems.
Yes. Because puppies are naughty. Puppies
they're
a handful.
They are hard work.
They need a lot of stimulation, I think. And like they always say, if they are doing these digging the holes, redesigning your garden, it's a symptom of something.
Absolutely.
Of boredom or whatever it is.
We always say that people see that cute little toilet roll advert and they see the responsible, calm guide dog. Yeah. But they don't see what happens in between.
Yeah. It takes a lot of work to get
a
to
lot of work.
The place with
training
these dogs
and socializing. It,
correct.
But I feel like Labradors, humans do have a sort of a different connection with them. I feel like they trust them a lot more. They're more used as service dogs, as dogs that are companions. But I don't know why that is. Is there a reason for that? Is it just that they look friendly and they look like family-orientated dogs?
They've got a very docile nature. Mm. They're not an aggressive breed at all. There shouldn't be any real aggression in a Labrador.
Yes.
And they are people oriented mm-hmm. dogs, very domestic dogs. So that's the other thing. If you want a guard dog, you don't get a Labrador.
Don't get a Labby, no.
And please don't buy one and shut it out in the garden, because it wants to be with you under your feet, where you can trip over it all the time.
Yes, yes. Now, I saw that earlier on. I mean, he's enormous, and he was lying there. Every time I took my hand away from him, he's like, huh? Yeah? Why are you stopping?
Well, Sharon, if you just look on the screen here, F Mangera has sent us a picture of, I'm not sure if it's his or her Labrador.
Mish.
She says, meet Mish. This is also a big Labrador.
Beautiful.
Labradors are really getting bigger lately, I feel.
Look at the eyes. Look at Misha's eyes, and if you look at Harry's eyes, they're so soulful.
Yeah.
They really are so soft and soulful.
I did retweet it at John O'Sinclair. You can go check it out, and if you want to send us your pics, you can let us know via WeChat, or even call in if you want to chat, tell us about your Labrador.
Yes.
Or your dog, in fact.
Yes, would be great. But now, Labradors are also highly intelligent, aren't they?
Very.
Yes, they are.
And they need to be stimulated because of that. If they're not stimulated, they do become very bored, and that's obviously when your problems come in.
Yes. No, absolutely. Like you say, that always seems to come out as choose the right breed for your lifestyle, what you can afford, what time you can put into it.
Yes.
And secondly, puppy socialization.
Mm. Yeah.
And as you say, don't throw them in the back garden, because boredom causes destructiveness.
Very important. And it's one of the biggest problems we have if we say, you know, is your dog friendly with other dogs, cats, chill.
Yes.
It's not very good with other dogs, you know. Mm. So people do their dogs a disservice by not socializing them when they're puppies. It's one of the most important things to do.
And it's so easy to do. There's puppy schools everywhere.
Yeah.
And you know what, I mean, it's one of the things that make it so difficult to rehome.
Yeah.
If you have a dog that's social, likes children, interacts with children, or has been around children, other dogs, that's the dog we're going to rehome far quicker. Great if he likes cats.
Yes.
Because then absolutely opens the door to so many different families. But when they're not socialized, those are the ones that sit on our list for
much longer.
Well, I think a good starting point if you want to adopt a Labrador is to say, what were they bred for initially? So then you know. Like,
yes, what are they?
They are working dogs, are they not?
They are working dogs,
Yeah.
And that means they need to be worked and stimulated.
But now, what kind of work? I mean, we know like collies are good with herding sheep and whatever. What is Labradors? What is their main thing? What were they bred for?
Originally, they were bred for to assist the fishermen haul in the huge, heavy nets. And that is why they have a very thick coat.
Mm.
And they have an undercoat, which has partly been bred out now over the years. But they do have quite a thick undercoat.
It's almost like water repellent.
Yeah,
absolutely. In the water. Okay.
Which, of course, sheds all over your floor.
So they do shed quite
a lot. We can't actually deny that. I've got a few Labradors, and I sweep up a complete new Labrador every morning.
Yes. You could knit a jersey with it.
A few jerseys.
So they were used for fishermen. So they're a big, robust, tough, strong dog.
Mm.
And then they were used by the gentry in the UK for retrieving game on shoots.
Oh, okay.
So they're the pheasant and rabbit and that sort of thing. They were
sent out
to
retrieve.
Because they
have what they call a soft mouth.
Very soft mouth.
They can be used for retrieving.
So they don't damage the game. And that's what they were used for then. And
they
of course
also
now
have webbed paws, which comes from the
Newfoundland.
Really?
Fantastic
so
in water.
Swimming.
Fantastic in water, and a big otter, what they call an otter tail, which helps them steer in water.
So they love water.
They adore
they
water.
Love water.
And the friendliest Labrador is a wet Labrador.
I'm sure.
Especially comes nice and rubs up against your leg, gives a good shake.
Yes. Now, I've seen them at Walkhaven.
Yes.
They always make a beeline for that dam.
Oh, absolutely.
They're in there. But he now tell us about Harry. I mean, you were saying that when you got him, he's a big boy. We'll post some pictures
he's
later.
He's huge. But he's very placid, beautiful nature.
Oh,
he's
awesome. Here he comes again. He's
but
my
now
best
he's
friend.
Actually, they were telling me he's lost a lot of weight since you rescued
tell us
him.
His story.
He came to us at 62 kilos. It was an unfortunate rehome from a home where there had been quite a few dogs kept basically in a kitchen and not exercised. I think the owner had a bit of a problem health-wise, and they had been left and they weren't exercised but obviously still fed. So there were three Labradors on the property, which we were able to take off, and one of them has gone to a wonderful home in Knysna. One has been home to one of our other rescuers' daughters. And Harry came to me because he was so large, we felt that we needed to drop some weight off him before we homed him.
Yes. We thought there was no way we were going to home a Labrador at 62 kilos. Whoa. And Jane over here, she's our best foster failure mom. She says, okay, no, it's fine. We'll start to look for home for him when he's lost 10 kilos. Yes. And then he lost 5 kilos and it was all of a sudden, okay, let's make it 20 kilos. Needless to say, that won't be happening.
No, I really don't.
So he's your boy now.
I think he'll stay with me.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Doesn't matter how much weight he loses. But you were saying that you've got him on a special diet, a Hills diet,
yes.
And you're exercising him?
Yeah, Hills sponsored us Metabolic, which is a special diet food, which has really helped with his weight loss. And then he's also been sponsored. He does swimming therapy every Friday with Emmy Lou Rivers at Paws, Claws and Wings in Sunning Hill.
Yes, yes.
So she's helped us a lot as well. When he first went swimming, he couldn't hold his weight up. He would have drowned because he had no muscle tone. But now he swims around quite happily.
Yes. No, because I could see he's still got a bit of meat on him.
No, he's still got a way to go.
He's like a big brown bear. He really is. He's adorable. But now, tell us, how many dogs do you currently have? How many Labradors do you have up for adoption?
We usually work between 30 to 50 dogs on our list at any given time.
Sure, that's a lot.
Yeah, it's a hell of a lot. Unfortunately, we don't have our own premises, so we try and home directly from one home into the other,
yes.
Which does help alleviate stress on our dogs. But if we cannot keep them in a home, in the existing home until we rehome them into another, we use Badham's Kennels in four ways. They're extremely good to us, and they're fantastic with a dog, so we use them there, and we put them there until we can rehome them.
Yes.
We do always look for foster families, so if you want to foster, that would be great. We do prefer our dogs to be in a home environment.
Yeah,
it's much
absolutely.
Better for them. You know, kennel environment is always a high-stress environment,
sure.
No matter how
sure.
amazing the kennel is. So we don't, you know, Badham's is fantastic, but we'd also love some more foster families.
Yeah, if anybody wants to foster, please.
So we've spoken a lot about fostering. How does that work? You volunteer to take a dog into your home until it is homed.
Basically.
Or finds a forever home.
Sometimes we will take a dog in and it hasn't had its vaccinations. It's one of the things we always do. We update their vaccinations and the deworming. And obviously, if we want to put a dog into Badham's, they cannot take a dog from us that's not fully vaccinated, obviously, because
sure.
they're a boarding kennel. They
yes,
need to protect
yes.
their own dogs in there as well. So sometimes it's a short-term board where if somebody could just keep a dog for a couple of weeks for us until we can move them into the kennels if we feel it's necessary. But obviously, first prize, if somebody could foster a dog for us,
yes.
Until we home it, that's amazing.
Because it's in a home environment.
Yeah.
And you do hear of a lot of what they call foster failures.
Yes.
That's someone who's fostered but then said, you ain't taking my dog.
Absolutely.
Do you get a lot of that?
We do.
We do. And that's great. We, you know.
And it also takes the pressure off the person. You know, because, you know, you do get people that say, I want to try and take a Labrador, but what if it doesn't work?
Yes.
Well, you know, we don't like to use the word try on APRO, but
right.
take the dog, see if it fits in, because it's a big ask. It's a big ask
sure,
to bring a new dog.
Sure, see if it fits
in
with your existing dogs and
yeah.
your family, right.
Yeah.
And you know what, that's also being responsible. You know, those are the families that are being responsible, saying, look, I don't want to take on a dog and then, you know, what happens if it doesn't work? They need to know that we're going to be there, and we are there. We're there for the dogs, but we're also there for the families. And,
yes.
You know, we're there for whatever they need, whether they need advice or help or behavior assistance, anything they need. We are very, very lucky to have an animal behaviorist who works
okay.
with us. She's also one of the founder members. Her name is Ruth Botts.
Yes.
And she assists us in so many different ways. We don't often have behavior issues, but if there are any settling issues or anything like that,
then she's there.
She's available, yeah.
I think that's the perfect way if you're looking to adopt foster. And then see
sort of have a trial
out.
Period.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think whenever you bring a new dog into your home, there's going to be adjustments.
Yes.
You can't expect it to be perfect. The dog has to find its way around, get used to new smells and new things. So you can expect some sort of upset, and maybe you don't just give up too soon.
We always say give the dog at least 2 weeks, good 2 weeks,
yes.
to settle and find it where it is in the household, especially if there's other dogs and cats and children, obviously. So 2 weeks, and then you've got a very good idea. Whether it's going to
settle.
And I mean, Labradors, you know, they're adaptive dogs, and so they tend to settle very quickly.
Yeah.
Yes. And are you finding more Labradors being up for rescue?
More and
really?
More and more. I mean, If I can say that we get on average 3 to 4 dogs a day that we need to rehome.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I mean, we're very lucky. I think in the past 2 weeks we've managed to home 10 dogs or so.
Wow.
So we're very lucky. We do generally rehome quickly.
Yes.
But unfortunately, there are more and more and more dogs.
A lot of financial issues.
Really? I was going to say, what is the biggest cause? Yeah. Can't afford to keep the dog anymore.
Yeah, it's very sad.
Or they're moving. You see, moving, it's so easy. You can take a dog out the country now without a problem to any country. But the problem is the cost.
It's very expensive.
I think as a breed, though, the Labradors are luckier because I think more families would go for a Labrador.
Yes,
so they have a higher chance of getting a new
home.
So it's lucky for them that they are so beautiful and
so popular.
Yeah.
They would get home to. But that is just so concerning. I mean, you kind of wonder, is a difference being made out there with all the publicity and the stuff on Facebook? But when you hear that 3 a day,
that is
just unbelievable. So it's actually getting worse.
Yeah.
It is.
I mean,
it's getting worse.
To give you an idea, in the past 2 weeks or so, it's been a bad 2 weeks or 3 weeks for us. Really, really bad weeks. 1 week we took in 21 dogs.
Wow.
10 of those were puppies. One mommy that was in Cape Town. We've had an extremely bad.
It's interesting that you say most of them are for financial reasons. These people don't want to give up their dogs. I'm sure they love, and I'm sure it's very tough to humble yourself and say, I can't do this anymore.
It's heartbreaking.
But I think it's better for the dog that they come to you as opposed to.
Absolutely. We'd far rather that than a dog perhaps gets dropped off at the SPCA.
Exactly.
Because it's got a better chance, really, of finding a home through us.
I mean, I was reading somewhere that they were saying all the dogs in shelters in this country, to get them all homed, a family of 4 would each have to own 7 dogs.
Crazy.
And that is crazy, and it comes back down to too much breeding.
Yeah.
Backyard breeding, puppy mills, which are flooding the market with dogs, and there's just nowhere for them to go.
No. And, you know, you do have responsible breeders out there.
Yes, you do.
Absolutely you do, and we can't take them off the grid because then we wouldn't have any real breeds anymore.
Correct.
But the backyard breeders are a huge problem.
Yes.
If you're finding a Labrador for 500 Rand, 2,000 Rand, you must ask yourself questions.
Where's it coming from? Yeah.
And especially the breeders that won't let you go to their premises.
Yes.
Well, I'll meet you halfway.
Be careful.
Be careful of that sort of thing.
That's red flag material.
I think, price, you're looking red flag material. Where they advertise, you know, if they're advertising on junk mail or something, be very careful. We heard a story this week of a Schnauzer breeder that had about 200 dogs, well-known Schnauzer breeder.
Oh, yes, we heard
about
that.
Are you familiar with
this one? You know the one starting with the R.
Yeah.
And they've actually uncovered this huge Schnauzer. Now, where do 200 Schnauzers go?
It's a lot of dogs.
That's a lot of dogs. These are little dogs, you know, that have been raised in horrible circumstances.
Oh, believe me, there's a lab breeder that does exactly
really?
The same. And unfortunately, these are the kind of breeders that you'll never get to stop. Doesn't matter what you do, they will go under a different name and carry on. But I mean, when you go to the website and it's got, what day would you like your puppy delivered to you? Puppy 1, 2, and 3?
Sounds a bit dodgy.
No, they're warning signs. I think the only way to stop it is firstly, like ban animal trading is trying to do, stop the sale of puppies in pet stores because that's where they sell them. And then stop the online advertising. And look, you're going to pay more at a reputable breeder, but at the end of the day, you're getting so much more.
You know, labs at the moment are, you know, you must expect to pay from a proper breeder in between 7,000 and 10,000 Rand.
Yes.
Sure.
Unfortunately, the chocolates have become quite fashionable, so those are more expensive. So,
but then you're getting all the checks, the temperament checks they've been checked for. I think labbies do get hip dysplasia.
Hips, elbows,
checked,
eyes.
Right.
So they're doing the checks, the x-raying. So what you're paying for is a puppy
that's
been given the right food from from day one.
Right.
So those breeders are not the problem. It's the backyard ones.
Well, it's so important, isn't it, to always see the parents when you go collect the dog.
Yeah.
Eh? And what signs should you look out for? I mean, that they're happy, that they're not being overbred. What, I mean, when you are looking at those parents, is there something you should take account of?
If you go to see a registered dog.
Mm, well, yeah, from a reputable breeder.
Yeah. Well, they will always be happy to show you the pedigree of parents, both parents. They'll be happy to show you the certificates for hip checks, eye checks, all those things they will have there, and they will give you copies when you take your puppy. The puppy will be vaccinated. It would have been dewormed. It will be microchipped.
Yes.
So those are all the things that you're paying for.
And I think also that breeder, expect the breeder to check you out.
Absolutely. Yes.
To do a home check.
Yes.
To find
really
out.
Cares.
Yes. Can you afford to look after the dog?
I used to breed Coosa registered Labradors, and it was like a sort of interview. People used to get quite irritated with me, but that's a little puppy that I've bred. It's been in my home for 7-8 weeks, and I want to know where
it's
going.
You want to make sure.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm. And I think they also give you recourse that if you can't afford, they will take the dog back.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Mm, that's the difference.
And that's the same with us. I mean, really, if we rehome a dog and for some reason that family cannot continue to look after it, whatever reason, it doesn't matter, please let us know.
Yes.
We don't have a problem. We'll take that dog back. It's not a problem, really.
How can people help you, though?
Volunteers.
Money.
Lots of money.
We were just saying that earlier, that, you know, at the end of the day, even 10 rand will help. I know cash is tight right now for everybody.
Every cent
helps, because I'm sure you've got vet costs, food bills to cover.
Yeah, we have wonderful vets. The guys at Poolsoft Vet.
Oh, yes.
Grant and Daniel.
They are amazing.
Heroes. I hope they're listening.
Yes.
So do I.
No, we salute them. They do a lot.
So
there's a lot of vets.
Without them, we
help.
Couldn't operate. We really couldn't. So
do these vets actually provide you with free services sometimes?
Not free, but rescue rates, which really helps us.
Mm.
Four Ways Vet also helps us out, and we've got a couple of vets in Pretoria as well. So we're always looking for vets that will give us rescue rates.
I see there's a lot these days that is actually helping. And a lot of the dog food companies, like you said, Hills, Montego, I know there's a couple that actually help Bob Martin. Mm. They do a lot. And they should do.
Absolutely.
They really should do. If you're out there and you're making your money out of doggies, give something back.
Yeah.
You know,
and we'll provide them with the exposure as well.
I mean, yes.
Absolutely. I mean, we want to thank everyone that sponsors us, be it Hills, Paws Claws and Wings, Baddams, Paul's Hoof Vet, Four Ways Vet.
Mm.
We want to thank them, and we want to thank all
our
volunteers.
I think after the show, I think we'll send you the link to the podcast, and then just send it to them so that they do know.
That they know that they were publicly
thanked.
No, they do need to be publicly thanked, because they really do help a lot. And people need to know about it so that they can support them in return.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right, ladies, just before we wrap things up, we have to address something. We're having some technical issues. I've even got some messages here. Henku says, it sounds like you guys are talking inside tin cans. What's up with the sound? So we did have our technical engineer in here. That was all the commotion you heard in the studio, if you picked up on that. We are sorting it out, but just bear with us. I don't know if, you know.
I heard it. It did sound rather odd.
It sounds
odd.
Like we're talking inside the toilet or something.
Yes.
I guarantee you are not inside the toilet.
I know. I didn't notice. I'm distracted by this beautiful boy lying at my feet. This is just, to me, that's home. A Labrador at your feet in front of a fire in the winter. That's home.
And you know what? That's where they'll be.
Yes.
Really, it doesn't matter how many acres of property you have. Your Labrador is going to be stuck under your feet.
Yes.
Expect to trip over him in every single doorway. Expect him to accompany you to the toilet. Expect him to go everywhere with you and give you those puppy dog eyes when you leave the home, because he wants to come with.
Yes. Your doggy soulmate.
Absolutely.
So now, if people want to get hold of you, so you need volunteers to what? Come and take them for walks, help out where they can? Do you do education in schools and events? Things like that?
We are doing an event this weekend. We're going to Mutters Dog
Day. Oh, yes. We have to talk about Mutters.
Yes. We are very, very excited to be there. We have a lot of prizes to everyone. We've got an awesome raffle. again, awesome sponsors that we've got. Yes. His and Hers Gifts from Land Rover and Cass Lingerie. We have so many things going. We even got an elephant safari.
Yes.
What else do we have?
No, Mutters is going to, we were saying earlier that WordX, one of the biggest, but I think Mutters is going to be a big one. I will post the details on Canine Zone when I get back to the office at about 1:30 Please get there. It's in Krugersdorp. It's going to be an awesome day. It's this Saturday from, I think it's 10 until 7.
Yeah, we are very, very excited to be there. And you know what? What's great, I think, for us is that it's not a huge outlay financially for us to be there.
Yes.
So we can go there. Yes. And
spread the word, educate, create awareness. No, really, it's I'm going to be there. I can't wait. We're going to cover it in one of our issues. And do you have a website or any way that people can get a hold of you?
We actually predominantly use our Facebook page, which is Labrador and Golden Retriever Rescue South Africa. We don't focus on golden retrievers generally because there is a dedicated golden retriever rescue. However, we do not discriminate if there is a golden that needs to be
homed. Honorary Labrador.
Absolutely. Yes. And often, you know, people have two dogs that they need to rehome and it's a Labby and a Jack Russell, for instance. We'll do our best to rehome them.
To help them both
together. Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, so Facebook, we're looking for Labrador and Golden Retriever Rescue. Go on there, like, I'm sure you post lots of news.
Absolutely.
And then you can find out how you can foster and how you can adopt one of these great, great doggies. But thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for bringing us Harry.
Yes, thank you for bringing Harry.
We will put a photo of Harry up on our What You Miss page. Go check it out. He really is beautiful, but he's huge.
Yes, he is huge.
We love him.
We love him.
Thanks so much for having us.
We really appreciate it.
And when we come back, we've got our celebrity guest, Ben Karpinski, telling us about meowsers.
CliffCentral.com.
So we decided to keep Harry in the studio because he's so chilled
relaxed.
And so relaxed. I think I'm going to have to kidnap this dog and take him home with me.
Yeah, he doesn't look like he's moving anytime
soon.
No.
But I just want to say thank you to one of our listeners, Michelle Kirschenbaum. She sent us a wonderful link about a Labrador doing his job of fetching tricks, sticks and training. So we will have a look at that after the show. Thanks so much, Michelle. Love it when our listeners get involved.
It looks like, I think it's www.thedo.do.
Do, yes.
We'll have to check out that link after the show.
Thanks so much. But now we've got Ben Karpinski in studio with us, and he's a cat man. Hi, Ben. Thanks for coming in today.
Yeah, great, guys. Nice to be here.
Tell us about your love of all things kitty cat.
Well, it's an interesting story, actually. My girlfriend and I moved in together probably, February officially to this new place we are now. And we were never going to be pet owners. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's a rule in place. We're not allowed to be pet owners. And we noticed there was a cat in the building.
Yeah.
And for a couple of months, we would see the cat in passing. And then whenever I would come to work here in the morning show, I would be in darkness at 5:30 on my way to work. And this cat would be in the car park.
Oh.
So I kind of thought, is it homeless?
Yeah.
The cat was in a really good condition, though. She's a very good-looking cat, well-fed. And then, sorry, but surely the cat sort of like actually following me home. As in, I would get into the driveway and come to the door.
Yes.
I wouldn't let her in. And then one day she kind of came in, and then we started feeding her a bit.
So little bit by little bit, she got into your home.
Exactly. Over a 4-month period, so much so that the cat kind of wanted to adopt us. So we're kind of going with it. It's a beautiful cat, and we wanted a pet, but we weren't going to go in as you get one. We can't have a dog, unfortunately, so Harry's safe. Although I had your idea earlier.
Yeah, I know. He's so gorgeous.
Well, we have a pic here of meowsers.
It's gone off there.
Yeah. Well, he looks like a bit of a Siamese.
She got touched with a Siamese. So what kind of – we realized that the cat, meowsers had an owner, okay? And her name is actually Saber. It's her real name.
Kind of like that.
But we weren't going to say anything. We really liked having the cat around. And it was actually just so cool for us to have a pet.
Yes.
Again, I had no idea it would have such a profound impact on our lives.
Oh, it does.
Anyway, she was there. We fed her. She had a little bed. And she would come and go as she pleases. She was obviously like a cat of her own means. So
she had another owner at the same time.
She did, basically on the other side of the corridor, right?
Okay.
She was one of three cats that lived, technically speaking, in this place. But where the story kind of got interesting is that, we just called her meowsers because she'd walk into the house and she would just meow at us. As in, right, I'm here.
Give me
food. Stroke me. I'm going to be gone for a little bit.
Feed me, love me, never leave me.
Isn't Mouser a cat on Pokemon? I think so.
Could be. Yeah. Well, we just thought it was a kind of catchy name, and it suited her because she was playful and cute.
That cat on Pokemon with the money on top of his head.
I'm sure his name's Mauser.
Something like that, yeah. Something to that effect. Yeah, anyway,
so,
Ben.
So the part where the story became interesting and kind of formalized our relationship, I guess. Mousy's got an abscess on her cheek, and it was pretty big. It was like thimble size, and it protruded, and it didn't smell great. So my brother's fiance is a vet. So I sent her a picture on WhatsApp. I said, look, there's something wrong with Mouse. She's got this really big abscess, and I can't quite, like, call it just a scratch. So she said, no, this is really bad. So she came, picked her up, took her to her practice. Turned out she rubbed a blade of grass into this little cut, and the grass then sort of reacted terribly, and she got this really huge abscess, which needed to be cut out and drained. So the night before, I found out who the real owner was. I walked down the corridor with this cat. Okay, it was kind of like a weird thing to do. It's like, okay, well, I'm going to go tell this woman that this cat who's kind of been living with us needs an operation. So the lady who owns the cat, she took one look at me and the cat and said, oh, no, what has she done now?
Oh, no.
So it turns out she's been going around the building, eating here and there and kind of going into people's houses.
Nice life.
So, so you felt special when she came to you, meanwhile.
We are actually special. It turns out from day one, this cat did not want to be indoors. She wanted to break out and she wanted to go live all over. She once actually went and lived in a guest house for 2 weeks across the road. And when they kind of realized that she wasn't, you know,
homeless,
of a bill paying quality, she kind of kicked out. So she just found her own little place, but then she felt really cool with us, and then that was where she stayed.
So she kind of adopted you.
She did. So then the woman, lovely day, she said, look, I'm sorry if a cat's been bothering you. I was like, no, not at all. But she does need an operation. So she's like, okay, cool. I'll take her to the vet tomorrow. I said, don't worry about it. We've already sorted out. We're taking her. I know a vet, so no problem. And then she went off, and then she had to have this cone in her head.
Oh, gosh.
And she had to physically stay indoors for 10 days. Now, this is a cat that doesn't stay indoors. So she was kind of under house arrest. And then during this time, Mouse has kind of like realized, okay, this is home.
This is a good place to stay.
And it's kind of, she's been our kitty ever since. And it's a big part of our lives. I had no idea a cat could have such a big part. Yeah. I grew up with cats in a household, but I mean, you're a child, so you got all kinds of distractions. But now this cat is like a big feature of the place.
No, absolutely.
Well, I mean, apparently couples who have pets are more likely to stay together. So there's a bonus.
Oh, they do so much. They can help with depression. Yeah. They can do so much to have a pet in the house.
Completely.
So does she still wander, or will she settle down your place only?
Well, she's completely house trained, so to speak. We have a litter tray for emergencies, which doesn't really ever come into play. So she goes out. She comes back every now and again. Like, we go away on weekends and she'll just chill out. She'll go somewhere else. Like, it's a loose relationship.
It's the perfect relationship.
The perfect relationship.
But the thing is, she'll go out and she'll go do whatever she needs to do, and then she'll come back. She'll just meow at the door, and then she comes, and then winter, summer, whatever, she'll go do her own thing.
Yes. So, and come back when she needs to come back.
Yeah.
How old do you think she is?
We're guessing around 7.
Okay.
So she's been around the block a few times, which we don't think that's her. But yeah, she's just a really cool add-on. And like you say, she's a great addition to my girlfriend and I relationship as well, because I've been away a few times on business over the last sort of 18 months. And I've been gone
company.
For like a week.
Mm.
And it's company. Yes. My girlfriend was quite poorly for like a week. She had an illness. And I was just kind of stuck with her, like Florence Nightingale, there and like doing the kneading on.
Oh, yes, they do. She was making bread.
Hey? It was just crazy how this cat, from being a complete stranger, was like now a part of our lives. But I've heard it's not that uncommon that cats actually do this.
Yes. No, they do. They love wandering. I used to have a cat that was adopted from the SPCA and used to go missing for days on end. And then I found out we lived 2 streets away from lawyers' offices. Mm-hmm. And this cat used to go and sit on this big lawyer's desk the whole day. She just used to hang out in his office until the day they left and locked up, and they'd locked her inside. You can imagine the chaos, the cat screaming and the whole thing. She never went back there again. But they do. They love going to find.
They have taste, I think.
Yeah,
and
other people.
I think cats choose their home. They're not going to be told where to live. Got a message from one of your fans, Ben, Michelle. Ben, I'm so glad you finally get a proper platform to be a cat oak. without Gareth,
a big moment, this.
Without Gareth giving you crap. So.
I get a lot of stick, but I don't really care.
But this is the thing. This is the irony about Ben. He's like, he's the sports guy. He's into gymming. He's into fitness. And then he has this cat
he's
called Mousers.
It's Mousers.
Yeah.
But and do you kiss and cuddle?
she's very affectionate. Now that it's getting colder, she's very cuddly towards us.
Yeah. Does she sleep with you?
Yeah. Okay. Which was also a big no-no, but now she sleeps in the bed. And then you can read her against that, I guess.
It always ends up that way.
But I mean, why not dogs, though? I mean, I know you live in a complex, but yeah, you don't strike me as a dog person.
No, I really, 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 really want a Labrador.
Oh, really?
My girlfriend and I are setting our sights on that. It's just, it's purely a housing issue.
Yes.
We don't have a garden. We live on the second floor.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that day we're working towards that. It's just a progressional step, you know.
Well, there you go. We've got the ladies here from Lab Rescue right here. You know where to go.
They just look like amazing dogs. They've got so much character. And as they get older, they become more mature looking like old men. And
they age with them.
Yes, they do. They do. So growing up, you say you always had animals in the house?
Yeah, three cats and dogs in various stages.
Yes.
So, yeah, probably about 6 or 7 animals in total in contact growing up.
Mm.
Which was always cool and such an essential part of the house. And there was a stage where I lived in animalless surroundings and I always felt like it was always lacking something.
Yes.
And now with Meowsies, it's kind of been driven home that it does make a home and it's so essential.
It's like having that living. I could never live in a home without an animal. They just bring life and energy into your home. They really do.
But now, how are you with feeding her and taking care of her, or does your girlfriend land up doing all that kind of work? Or is she sort of looking to you to see what kind of a dad you're going to be one day?
Yes.
Sure. If
yes.
that is the case, then I'm going to be amazing, I guess.
Oh, really? Okay.
I would say I kind of feed her the most. She went through a stage of waking me up every morning at 4, which is a stretch because, I mean, that last 45 minutes is key to my sleep before I come here. So she's got out of that routine. So she now knows the alarm clock for me means the alarm clock for breakfast.
Oh, okay.
So we've got that down. It's pretty cool.
Which is very early for Ben. I mean, he's up at what?
With Gareth's show, yes.
Yeah. And then she kind of goes out. Well, now she sleeps in a bit. But yeah, and then in the evening around 5, I'm generally at home just before gym, and then I feed her.
So you do happy. And play with her? Does she have favorite games?
She's a real catnip
She's hooked on catnip.
Like she goes mull on the catnip. My brother's fiance, of course, because she gets the stuff, a pretty pure grade of catnip from her mom.
She's connected.
From Swaziland.
It's an unknown source. I think it grows in the climates of Olivedale. And you can get her to get, like, we've got this bed for her because we obviously want her to sleep in there. So we put catnip in there. She goes crazy for about 20 minutes. Then she realizes she doesn't like the bed.
Cat is worn off.
Keep the bed more than the catnip. Yeah.
It's amazing how catnip freaks cats out. You can't tell a cat where to sleep, though.
What is it?
I don't know. But it's incredible to see how they just adore the stuff.
Yeah, something about it.
It's
like a drug for them.
But yeah, there's somebody here, Daniela Panzera, who says Ben actually called her Princess Kitty Mau Mau's. Is that true?
Yeah, Ben, come confession time.
Sure, put on the spot. Okay, I'll be open. Danielle is my girlfriend.
Of course.
Okay. And she.
So it's truth, yeah.
She had this bedspread that basically had princess on the pillows, like in this regal font, and then she would kind of sleep on that. So it always looked. It was quite funny. She took a picture once, and there was princess, and then there was Kitty.
Kitty Mau Mau.
So Princess Kitty Mau Mau.
So if you take it to the vet, you've got a state official name.
Yes.
Yeah, I guess we go.
Do you
that
say
one.
Princess Kitty Mau Mau?
Up until now, it's just been Kitty.
Just
because me. Then if we called her Kitty in the building, it would look like there's no association. It'd be like, hey, Kitty.
Yes, it's kind of generic.
Could be any other cat.
Yes.
And I presume she was already spayed by the time she came to you, otherwise.
Yep, came kind of like a full service history, I guess. But again, you know, her owner is down the way. And if she ever came knocking and said, look, we're moving or whatever.
Yes, what would happen?
You wouldn't give it up.
Are you now sharing custody officially right
now? It's not so much sharing custody. I think her son's a bit upset that the cat doesn't want to live there. I don't mean that in a harsh sense, just that, you know, the door is open most of the day because we like to get air circulation. So, you know, Meows can go anywhere she wants.
Yeah,
she just decides that little spot is where it suits her right now.
So what happens if you do move into a bigger place to get your Labrador?
We'll cross that bridge, and the intention would be that, yeah, we want to obviously keep her in our lives.
I smell a court case coming on. I don't
know. Well, whatever it takes. But, I'll be realistic about it. But I think when it comes down to it, we might just steal her.
Just adopt them another cat and just replace her.
No, look, we have a pretty good relationship with Karen, and she's been really cool. And we're looking after the cat. The cat's happy.
We could make up a story that the cat disappeared. Meanwhile,
yeah. Just went
just put up some posters. Have you seen my cat? No. Meanwhile, it's at the new place.
Yes. Living in luxury. No, I think cats are just, they're the most amazing creatures. They, as you say, they're so independent. They do what they please.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to me is you do get cat people and dog people. Mm-hmm. People that prefer cats, people that prefer dogs.
Cats are so much easier to take care of.
You can also learn a lot from a cat. Like a dog's pretty easygoing. You get home, dog loves to see you. Feed the dog, dog loyal for life. Mm. You get home, the cat might not look at you.
It will decide.
And basically, like, if you know, every now and again we see cat food that looks really fancy, you get it, so she'll have two bites, go, this is amazing, but you spend lots of money on it, so I'm going to leave it.
Yes.
Stick it. Yes. I don't want this.
I'd rather bring in a mouse or something like that. Yeah.
So you never know. So you got to, it's a thing of patience, you know, like Daniela might come home and just feel like a really low day and wants some love from the cat. And Kitty's not in the
mood. Not from you, from the cat.
Not in the mood, but like 2 hours later while sitting on the bed, then Kitty will come in her own time.
Yes.
My cat has this thing, wherever I want to stand up, then it will sit on my lap. And then I'm like, oh, I don't want to be rude and be like, cat, now move. So, yeah, then I sit for 5 minutes more. I'm like, okay.
It's like they do have like a mind of their own towards
yes, they
things.
Do.
And I'm sure they have a little chuckle in that 12 hours a day that they sleep while I'm here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Definitely laughing about the situation.
And only like sort of once you've just gotten dressed or you've put on a jersey, then they want to come sit on you and make
leave
you full
the
of
hairs.
Hair.
Yeah. And does she hunt, Ben? She brought you any gifts yet?
Well, put it this way. She is quite street. She's brought home, I think, 3 small mice. Or it could just be the same mouse as having her own. And I wouldn't be surprised if she's taken down flying objects. You know, we've seen her have a bit of a turf war. I think other cats in the neighborhood have found out that this is a good house to be in. Oh, okay. And Meowsy's guards us.
She's defending it.
She is. She chased away 2 other cats who were coming close to us the other day. She's very, very
That's
loyal.
So cool. I always say real men love animals. So,
yeah.
Ben, go
well,
for it. You enjoy your Princess Kitty Mau Mau. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Ben, thanks so much for coming in today.
Oh, guys,
tell us about
Thank
her.
You,
and yeah, we'll be back again next week, same time, same place, to tell you more about our wonderful animal friends. Thanks for now.
CliffCentral.com